You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. It's time for our player spotlight. We get a chance to speak to a guy that I know Dave Wyman in particular has great affection for. He talks about this guy all of the time, so it's got to be really big for Dave, as well as all of you, to hear from Will Dissly. Will, how are you, man?
I'm great. It's good to start a new week. We're on to San Francisco, and body's feeling good. Team's feeling ready to go.
Well, it sounds like you've been able to sort of flush what happened in the Cardinals game. Are you pretty good about just kind of looking at it as, all right, it's a loss, let's move on to the next? Or do you go down and look at the film and, man, I could have done this, we could have done that? How do you approach a game like that?
Yeah, I think the last 2 years of experience, going down, I'm good at putting things behind me and just kind of moving forward. So that's kind of my own mental. But, yeah, last night was tough. We have a lot of work to do as far as stuff to clean up, but the cool thing is we can get better, and we know we're a good team, and I think we're just ready to go out and prove it again on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. I mean, you can't let the same team beat you twice, or the same mistake or game or whatever. But sounds like you're good at just getting past that. But how do you feel physically? You got to be really proud of yourself, man. Coming back from two big injuries, and how are you feeling? I mean, are those things still lingering, or are you past it?
No, body feels good. We're we work tremendously hard. I have to give a lot of credit to John Meyer and the athletic trainers here at Seahawks, just getting me back right and taking the time. And we did a good job with fall camp, just building in the slow ramp up. And obviously coming off the body's feeling really good. So the goal is to play all the games this year, and we're off to a great start.
Hey, Will, I'm sure it's physically exhausting to play in a nearly four-hour game, but what about the emotional part of it? Boy, fans, going through something like that, they're emotionally exhausted. I imagine being part of it, that you really are too.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to start calling us the Heartbreak Kids. It's the way we play and keep these games close. It's a lot of fun. I think it's, it keeps you into it. It keeps the games, four quarters of work, and we kind of love those games. You don't want it to be easy, because you want to show that you're the better team, and we feel like we are, and we're ready to prove it again.
It was interesting. You guys put up 27 points in the first half on a team that was allowing just over 18 per game. I think they were second in the league coming into this. So you guys felt like you were doing whatever you wanted. Then the second half, you were only able to muster seven. Did they change something drastically in the way they were approaching this offense?
Yeah, I think, part of it was some of the self-inflicted wounds. A couple false starts, a couple, losses for gains, or gains that were losses, and just getting behind the sticks is not really our plan. I think we did a good job of staying in front of the sticks in the first half, and, we do that. We're kind of a dangerous offense with the multiple weapons that we have, running the ball, taking shots. I think it makes defenses really challenging. You have to give a lot of credit to Arizona and the way they came out and fought in the second half. They're a tremendous team, and But we feel like we definitely can do a lot of cool things on offense, and we will going throughout the rest of this year.
Yeah, well, I didn't keep track as to whether or not you were on the field for this play, but DK Metcalf, that play, it actually got me choked up. Haven't played in the league, watching the effort of him running down Buda Baker and just the hustle, and then it ended up paying off that the defense is able to stop him. But were you on the field, and did you talk to DK after that play, or describe what that looked like from down on the field?
Yeah, I was running a drag across the field, so I was in the opposite end corner of the end zone, and Buda caught the ball, and I was like, well, I played with Buda, I know I'm not catching him, so I was like, damn, here we go. And then just to see DK and just show the effort and the strain that he did, and just the care that he has for the team, and the willingness to go out and show that he's able to do that. It's pretty special. The guy's an unbelievable athlete, and I told him, I was like, hey, that was a 14-point tackle right there. Our defense held him, and we went down and scored the next drive. So, that play doesn't go unnoticed. And, I think a lot of the guys around the team are like, hey, the DK's putting that effort in. We need to do that also.
Boy, talk about things that didn't go unnoticed. How about Tyler Lockett and the performance he had last night?
Yeah, I mean, Tyler, he's crazy. Special guy, man. I mean, he just somehow shows up. You know, him and Russ have a great connection just on the scramble plays. And, you know, you didn't really feel like he's such a quiet guy. He didn't, you know, get too emotional. He kind of just catch a ball. And I think he ended up with 15. So, you know, I think that's what's cool about our offense. You know, whether it's DK, whether it's Lockett, whether it's Demo or the tight ends, man, I think, you know, it's special. And, you know, last night was Lockett's night. And the guy's a special player and, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the league for sure.
Will, I know you're around these guys all the time and you're you know, one of the premier athletes in the premier sport, but do you ever marvel at what guys like Lockett can do with their feet in the tiniest little patch of grass before they're out of bounds and somehow able to just, you know, tiptoe, get those feet in? I mean, it's, we watch the replays and just go, how did he do that? How did, in real time, it just feels almost impossible. Do you ever look at that film or look at those plays and just go, my goodness?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think this is back-to-back years, how he's had an unbelievable catch with just the putting the toes right where they need to be. I mean, I think the play before, he caught his toe tap. You know, I caught a ball out of bounds in the back of the end zone, and then he caught the next ball that his toes were in bounds, and I went over him. I was like, can you teach me how to do that? I need some of these touchdowns, man. So, you know, he's a special player. I don't know how he does it. The kid's special. I'm going to keep watching him, see if I can figure it out.
Well, you'd have to have been like 20 feet tall for your toes to get in on that one. It was pretty far out of bounds, to be fair. So don't be too hard on yourself there. Hey, you had the 19-yard touchdown catch against Minnesota and then two catches for 38 yards. Do you feel like you're starting to kind of get into a rhythm?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm excited about the role that we have and this tight ends in general. You know, we kind of bring some value to this team. And it might not show up in fantasy points, but I think we're helping this team win, whether it's run blocking, pass catching, or just coming up with big third downs. I think, you know, our numbers aren't off the charts, but, you know, we come up with big catches when we need to, whether it's creating a spark or creating a third down or springing a block. And, you know, we understand our role and we understand that, you know, we're helping this offense. And, you know, it's a big puzzle. And like I said, you know, one day it might be DK, one day it might be Locke or Demo, and one day it might be the tight ends going off. So we just stay ready and we keep working.
Well, you're regarded as one of the best blocking tight ends coming out of the draft, and I imagine you have an appreciation for what the offensive line did last night, because until overtime anyway, Russell had plenty of time to throw.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are, you know, hats off to them. I wish they got more credit than they do. I mean, those guys, I should shout out all their names. I mean, hopefully the fans know them because, you know, they work their tail off for Russ. And, you know, Russ doesn't make it easy. He scrambles, so sometimes they're blocking longer than other O-linemen block. So they get their work in, and they work their tails off. And, you know, it's a special crew, and we're able to do some fun things running the ball. And like you said, man, their pass-blocking abilities, it's special, and I think that's what's helping our team.
What's it been like for you to have a guy like Greg Olsen there who's got the I mean, just he's been in this league forever. He's achieved a ton and seems like a great guy. Is he somebody do you pick his brain, ask a lot of questions, or what's that relationship like?
Yeah, it's been really fun getting to know Greg. I think he brings a great football mind to our room, and just the way he views the game plan, the way he views, you know, the schematics and the opposing defenses and how we can take advantage of them. You know, it's pretty special to watch his mind work. I think I'm just trying to pick up, and I wish I had a notepad at practice, all the tips that he can talk about how he runs, you know, certain routes. And so I'm just trying to take it all in, and hopefully we'll remember it for the rest of my career, because you guys have been really successful.
Hey, Will, we just talked to Puna Ford, and I asked him about, you know, what kind of things he does during the season to take care of his body. And, you know, like on your day off and things like that. And he mentioned massage, of course, and then a little bit of acupuncture. Are you doing those kinds of things?
Yeah, probably that and then some. You know, you just try and stay on top of it. I think, you know, honestly, just moving around. I think, you know, anyone can relate. They go out and do a big workout or big hike, whatever, and their body feels really sore, and they just want to sit around the couch all day. But, you know, especially like today, we got back off the plane at 4 a.m., and all you want to do is lay around today. But the biggest thing you do is just get out there and move, whether it's, you know, in a pool or on a bike, you know, getting another lift in or just, you know, going for a walk in nature. That's big for the body recovery, and, you know, body emotion stays in motion, I guess.
Hey, that's what I was doing today, Will. I was out in nature. I was recovering.
There you go.
I was recovering from watching the game.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, two weeks away now.
What was sore on your body, Jim? Was it your jaw? Was it your butt from sitting on the couch? What were you sore from watching the game?
Yeah, probably my left bicep from picking up my Coors Light, perhaps.
Okay. Some 8-ounce curls.
Yeah, it could have been that. Yeah, it could have been one of those. Okay, well, now we're 2 weeks away from the Pac-12 getting back into action. The Huskies under Jimmy Lake. What do you think they expect with the new coach there?
Yeah, I'm excited to watch the Huskies work, man. You know, it'll be interesting who their quarterback is, but I know they're going to be rolling. They're going to have a lot of energy just like us, and they're going to be missing the fans just like us. But, you know, it'll be good. It'll be good to see them, good new era. You know, I don't expect a lot of difference in drop-off. I think Coach Lake's going to be an amazing coach. He's going to put a team together, and they're going to go out and expect to win.
And we all know that the Huskies own the Cougs when, you know, the past few years. I mean, it's been really a drought for the Cougs, right, Jim? How do you think they'll do this year?
That was subtle. I appreciated that. You know, it's going to be a good matchup. I think every year, I think the Wazoo's got a new coach, so they're going to bring a new energy, and they're going to, you know, they're going to come in and think to win, and, you know, the Huskies will have to do what they always done and just go out there and execute.
You're nicer than Ben Burkervin. I just say that, and I know it's fine if you react with silence there, but Ben, whenever we talk about the Apple Cup, he just talks about how the Cougar offense was so predictable under Mike Leach, and so we just kind of have a back and forth where he gives me a hard time, and yeah, so anyway, I thought you were nicer how you went about it there, Will.
Yeah, I got a lot of Wazoo friends, so I got to be careful what I say, you know. They're not all bad. Sometimes we make mistakes, but, you know, everyone knows you want to be a Husky at heart. So, you know, we'll just keep on winning, and we'll just keep having fun, I guess.
There we go.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
Hey, Will, one more, not to dwell on your injury, but I'm always fascinated talking to athletes who overcome these injuries, and everybody seems to have the same sentiment, that it's not the physical, that everybody can rehab, and with medical technology, basically everything can put you back to as good as new again, you know, unlike days past. But the battle is the mental part, the trusting, hey, I can plant, and I can cut, and I can push off, and that's not going to – did it take a while to sort of get past those concerns in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I mean, honestly, as they say, it's a year, you know, rehab, but honestly, everyone's probably ready by, you know, month 7 or 8. But the fact that you're mental, you know, you just don't trust it quite for a full year. But that's, you know, I think we've done a great job just in the last two rehabs that I've done of just, you know, you got to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And, you know, like you said, everyone rehabs, but are you really pushing yourself? Are you really going to see and stress it and see how sore it gets the next day and then going out and operate if it's sore? All those things you have to do and push yourself to do, you know, on the mental side. And then once you do it, you know, then you have that confidence, and that's just built over time.
Will, we appreciate you taking out time for us. Wishing nothing but the best coming up against the 49ers this weekend, and hopefully we're talking again about another big win.
Yes, sir. Go Hawks.
There you go. Will Dissly, our guest for the Seahawks Player Spotlight, which is brought to you by Michael's Automotive Group. And it's amazing what he's been able to come back from, man. And more importantly, his ability mentally to come back from it. Because as we asked him, and I've talked to you about injuries, Dave, and it's always interesting to hear athletes talk about whatever they've gone through physically, and almost to a man say, it's not about the physical. Like, I know my knee is right. I know my foot, my elbow, whatever has been worked on. I've been assured by medical professionals it might be even stronger than it was before. But it's the mental part of, yeah, man, can I plant? Can I cut?
That's
can I push off? Can I trust it? It's the mental part, all of them say, is the bigger part. Not the PT, that's
absolutely
a grind, but just mentally getting over. And he's done it 2 years in a row. Not pulled hamstrings or, oh, I got a tweaked elbow or I've got arthritis in my finger, whatever. Those are serious injuries.
Well, and the only thing I can relate to is, you know, I've had those kinds of injuries, but the one in college that I had, yeah, where it was dislocated and everything, I mean, I got it really strong and, you know, I was feeling good, but then my first fear was like, well, maybe it's good for, you know, running around, but not football. And honestly, it was the Oregon State game, and I can't remember which game that was, but we played Texas, we played San Jose State. It might have been the third game, my fifth year senior year, where there was a gap that opened up, and I shot through it and made a tackle, and I was like, that's it. I'm good. I'm good to go. And
but
you know,
before that, you were thinking about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I was thinking around. I remember we played Texas. We ended up beating him, but I had like a – you know, 13 assist tackles. Like, I didn't make a solo tackle. And then we got against San Jose State, and I just wasn't making plays. I wasn't, like, pulling the trigger. And then, you know, I think it was the third game where just one play, and it was like, okay, everything's behind me now. And I never thought about it the rest of the year. And for him to have to do that twice, and especially at the professional level, it's even more, you know, like, you worry about, is this going to hold up? Because you're out there against the absolute best. I mean, you're out there against people like DK Metcalf, you know, that are just physical freaks. So, and Will has just handled that so well. But I really think he's just a fantastic player. And I think I had him ranked fourth, the fourth best Seahawk on this team, maybe fifth. Him and Carson, I just think that both of them are really special. They both got hurt last year. But, yeah, but getting back to what you're talking about, You go through, like you said, these aren't little tiny, you know, oh, I hurt my finger. I mean, these are major injuries that he's come back from, and he just has a great attitude.
I'm laughing because I was just thinking about the time that I hurt my finger at, you know, in the Nerf football incident there.
Jim has been the same since.
You know, Jim, we heard a lot about that. It was at the Holiday Inn pool, I believe. It was an indoor pool.
And the thing is, you know, I had some mental challenges myself. It was, you know.
Oh, you've got mental challenges, all right.
Yeah, nobody will debate that.
The home row of my keyboard, you know, I was like, okay, I can reach the Q, I can reach the 1, but I just wasn't as certain as I used to be in the past.
You should have brought that up to Will and compared your injury to his.
You just say, I know how you feel, Will. I've gone through something very similar.
Yeah, I should have just gone from the awkward Apple Cup conversation to something else that would have been awkward. I should have done that.
How'd you feel about that moment of silence?
Well, I'm used to moments of silence, but I blame you for that. I wasn't going to ask Will Dissly anything to do with the Apple Cup. I just was excited about the Pac-12 coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You weren't going to ask, were you?
I am. No, I wasn't going to ask about the Apple Cup. No.
Okay. All right.
But we got the kickoff times today. The Huskies are playing Cal at 7:30 on November 7th, and the Cougs playing Oregon State at 7:30. So we'll have two simultaneous night games going with the Huskies and the Cougs.
Why would they schedule them at the same time? That seems odd, right?
Yeah.
We want to see who's king. It'll be head-to-head.
Yep.
Mm. All right. Well, there you go.
We got the Chicago Bears and L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
Teeing off here.
The Rams, I mean... I'm not sure how to feel about the Rams because all their wins came against the NFC East, which we see week in, week out is atrocious. And then they
plus
lost.
The Bills.
Say that again?
They played the Bills, too.
The Bills, that's right. But then they got the call at the end of the game that everybody's like, man, that was ridiculous, and that led to a win. So I think this will be a good test because I feel like nobody believes in the Bears, even though they're, what, 5-1? But everybody's going, nah, Bears, they're not real. So this will be, you know, we'll find out who's more real in this game.
Yeah.
The Bears or the Rams. They're both being doubted on some level.
I'll tell you what. I mean, it's looking for some, you know, bright spots from yesterday. That was the number two scoring defense, and I think you guys both brought it up.
Yeah, just under 19 points a game they were allowing.
Yeah.
So, 18.7, I think.
And that's been kind of a disturbing trend in that, you know, all of a sudden, there's some really good defenses in the NFC West. The other one is the Rams, and I looked it up. They're still, I think, number four as far as yards go, not points, but yardage-wise, at least going into the weekend, they were number four. So, yeah, I mean, you've got some pretty good defenses all of a sudden popping up. I mean, it's been, the Rams, this high-octane offense, and, you know, Kyler Murray running all over the place.
Rams are number three in points allowed.
Number three in points allowed.
19 a game. Going into this game through six games, they are 19 even. Number one is the Ravens, 17.3. The Dolphins are number two at 18.8. And then the Rams are number three at 19. Cardinals, after giving up 34 to the Seahawks, dropped down to allowing 20.9.
Yeah.
So they're, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're around 10th.
Yeah, still top 10. I mean, that's not been the character of or how you would characterize the defenses in the NFC West, other than San Francisco, who was really good. But, all of a sudden Arizona and the Rams are starting to play some defense. So
Niners are 6th. Wow. 19.4.
Isn't that amazing? Still able to do that with all the injuries that they've had. So, yeah, they're still – I mean, it just – look, they do play the AFC East and the NFC East, but, you know, you got to play NFC West teams six times and off to a bad start, 0-1 against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and Jim, the Seahawks, by the way, I think are 23rd in points allowed, 28.7.
Yeah, 28.7. Dave, that New England-San Francisco game yesterday with the 49ers handling the Patriots in the biggest way, 33-6. Did you look at Cam Newton? Wasn't that strange to see Cam Newton the way he was yesterday and compare that to what he looked like at CenturyLink Field? It was like it was a different person in that uniform.
I know. And I mentioned that earlier, how, look, with the defense right now, the problem is, I mean, at the end of the half against Arizona, went right down the field, got themselves a field goal.
And then in overtime.
Overtime.
Right down the field.
Fourth quarter. They need 10 points in the last 6:55 or however much was left on the clock. Went down twice and got them. You know, same thing in Miami. Same thing with Cam Newton.
Yeah, every quarterback they've played has looked really good against them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it's Matt Ryan or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton or Kyler, it doesn't matter. No quarterback has had a bad day against the Seahawks yet.
Look, I still think they have the talent, though, you know, and really, to me, the D-line's been okay. I mean, I know the whole thing about not getting quarterback hits, but they had three opportunities to sack Kyler Murray yesterday, and they just didn't make the plays. One was Bobby. You know, I thought he could have blasted through that running back, but, I mean, he made a good play. He was trying to get – but, I mean, Kyler Murray is elusive, and then and then the other one was Jaren Reed. I mean, he had a chance to sack him in the end zone, get a safety, and just didn't come up with a play. Shaquem had a chance to do it. So
did you like what they – and we're going to get into the Seahawks defense overall coming up in the next segment. But did you like what they did with Shaquem? We were talking about Jamal Adams, and maybe if he were healthy, he would have been the guy that would have been used as a spy on some level. And that's what they were doing with Shaquem. You saw him just mirroring the movements of Kyler Murray. He goes left. He goes to his right. He was just following him all around, and I guess maybe it worked to a certain extent.
Yeah, but Pete didn't sound overwhelmed with his play.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was okay. I mean, he made a couple of plays, and you know, I mean, downfield, but he had a 9-yard tackle where you know he was getting held, and he broke out of it and made a tackle. So I mean, he was flying around. He's got great speed. I mean, remember he almost sacked him last year here, and you know, Kyler Murray just has a way of spinning out of. He's just so tiny, but I mean, just the quickness of his feet. So it's tough. But I mean, look, you had according to what Next Gen, zero pressures or one pressure or whatever. So, but I just didn't feel like that was the problem. To me, it wasn't like, and first of all, I didn't go in thinking, hey, they got to sack Kyler Murray a bunch of times. It's, you know, Kyler Murray is one of those guys you worry more about, hey, don't give him any lanes to take off running because he was averaging 11 yards per scramble. It was more about, you know, the deep crossing patterns and, you know, limiting the run. And actually, they were okay against the run. Well, they were decent. I mean, they were rushing for like 160 yards. 170. Well, I guess they were 159, something like that. But still, I mean, I didn't feel like that was the problem. It was more just the guys just being wide open, especially on those drives.
Well, we'll talk more about it. As Dave just touched on, Seahawks didn't record a single quarterback hit last night, not a sack. So what is going on with the defense, and how can it be fixed, more importantly? We'll get deeper into this next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. And another reminder, you do have radios in your homes. If you've got a smart speaker, tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM. It becomes a radio right there for you. We've been talking... We ended the last segment talking about the defense, wanted to get deeper into it here. And, you know, we talked about the fact in four quarters, in a full overtime session, you didn't record a sack or a quarterback hit. That just seems almost impossible to me. Is it possible, and this is what I asked you in the notes last night, is it possible that we're so close to this team that we see every moment, we talk to these guys, we love these guys. I mean, we rave about KJ and we rave about... you know, Ryan Neal and all these guys and what great guys they are. Is there a chance that they're maybe not quite as good as we think they are? I'm not trying to be funny, Jim. Are we overestimating the collective talent here? Are we just too close to them to think, you know, maybe somebody's lost a step, or maybe somebody's not quite as good as we thought they were.
I didn't mean to laugh at that, but of course there's a chance. Because, I mean, statistically, you just look at what's going on.
You mean talent-wise?
Yeah, that they're good, but maybe they're not great. Maybe they're not
Well, it's just like sometimes, I mean, think of all the Mariners that we fell in love with. And sometimes when they get older, they're not quite as good. Now, I don't think of that with KJ, but funny isn't the word, but it's just strange to me how you continue to look. And Dave talks about feeling like there's enough talent on the field, and I agree with him. I mean, you look at we go down the list of these guys: Jaron Reed, Shaquille Griffin, Quentin Dunbar was number two according to Pro Football Focus last year among cornerbacks. We like what Diggs did last year when he came over from Detroit. We love Jamal Adams. Now, I know he hasn't been out there for the last three games, but it seems like they have enough guys out there. And again, you're not looking for him to be 2013 Seattle defense. You'd just like to see it be, what, 18th in the league? I mean, I'm not even looking for 18th in the league anymore. I'm hoping for 25th or something like that.
Yeah, to me, the truth is somewhere in between, because I asked you, are we overestimating the collective talent, or is it the coaching? And to me, I'm thinking it's probably a bit of both, if we're being honest. I think, you know, maybe we're overestimating the talent of some of these guys, and maybe we're not as critical as we should be about how the game is being coached. And I give Pete Carroll credit when he was asked about it today. He came out and said, hey, I'm in there too. You know, when they were asking about Ken Norton and how the plays are called, and he's like, hey, I'm in those meetings too. I'm part of this. And that's all we've ever heard is Pete's defense, blah, blah, blah. Well, then, you know, somebody's got to take an honest look and say, all right, either what we're asking them to do, they're not capable of doing, or it's just the wrong thing to ask them to do, or we've got to find players who can execute what we're asking them to do. Something's going wrong. I don't know what's wrong with the defense. I honestly don't. But what the problem is they don't seem to know either.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem is how they play defense in those kind of prevent situations where it's like you're trying to keep everything in front of you and you don't want anybody getting, you know, beat deep. And, you know, look, and here is a good example of this is just a lot of everything. But there was a 32-yard run by Chase Edmonds who, again, this is a backup running back who had like 145 yards against this defense. The same thing happened against Minnesota. Alexander Mattison, who's the backup quarterback or running back to Dalvin Cook, he had over 100 yards rushing. So that's a huge problem. But there was a play where he goes up the middle and, you know, Bobby is forced to like two gap because the blocker comes out and he catches him. You know, and he's trying to figure out which side you go because you don't want to commit to one side or the other. The reason why is because there was two guys in the same gap on the outside, and it was two of our better players. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was Jaron Reed and Benson Mayoa, and they were outside. So that it just seems like every time, or there's a guy that's not crowding the right receiver, you know, and he's wide open, and you know, or a guy bites up on a run read and the ball goes sailing over his head. So there's just a lot of that. So it's confusing to me. I don't of course, I don't know what they're calling, but I do believe they have the talent. I do believe they have the talent. It's just a matter of playing together, getting everybody together. You know, that Kyler Murray moment on the field where he's yelling at his tight ends and everything. Right. I feel like they need to have that kind of moment over there where they get together and go, hey, I remember it happened in Cleveland last year because I think Cleveland scored the first two drives or maybe it was three. And I remember Bobby brought everybody together over there and like, hey, let's go, you know. I'll say this, it would be nice to have all of everybody healthy. I mean, they've certainly gotten bit by the injury bug, but you were just reading the stats for San Francisco. I mean, the Niners
lost arguably their best defensive player. I mean, they were losing guys left and right in their top five defense. They're winning game. They look like a problem next week, by the way, and we'll get into them during the week. But I don't feel good about that game at all based on what we just saw, Jim. And where are you at? Are you believing this is players? Like we're overestimating the collective group? Or is it the coaching? Or because I think it's in the middle, not to hedge, but I think it is a little bit of both.
Well, you sit there and you hear about the problems down in Dallas and Mike Nolan bringing in a new defense and you know, he sounds like he's on the hot seat there. And you know, again, when Dave talks about the talent, I think we like the players. We think they should be better than what they are. And I hesitate to get into X's and O's because then I really don't know what I'm talking about. But I can look at stats and I can look at history, and I just think it traces back to Ken Norton. I've said that so many different times. I just feel like they need to make a change there or bring Quinn in as a consultant. I mean, we sit there and we talk about, okay, get a pass rusher, and we go, okay, Carlos Dunlap, he's disgruntled in Cincinnati, or Ryan Kerrigan, get him from Washington. These numbers, they need to do something. And it's not going to just get fixed with Michael Kendricks coming back or Snacks Harrison or Jamal Adams. I pointed out in that first hour about Jamal Adams, it's kind of Clowney-like in a way, where the stats aren't that much different when Clowney was out of the game than when he was in the game, but as far as what's that, Dave?
Well, you mentioned Ken Norton, but, I mean, Pete, we just heard it today. He said, I'm in there too.
No, I know he is, but he's not going to fire himself. They need to do something different. That's all. And the reason that I just kind of go back to that, I look at Norton's defenses in Oakland. And, you know, you can say, well, maybe he lacked talent there. Well, okay, I'll give you that. Oakland wasn't maybe all that good when he was there. Seattle, though, the defense has gone downhill every year that he's been here. And you can trace that to personnel, maybe guys leaving, maybe guys getting hurt, whatever you want to point out. But when you're historically bad, this isn't just bad on a single season bad. This is historically bad. And another one I just found. You know who leads the league in pass defense? The Washington football team. They give up 186 yards through the air per game. And we're not just three games into the season. They're seven games into it. Whatever you think about the Washington football team, you probably think, they stink. But still, they're giving up 186 yards a game through the air.
They just walloped Dallas yesterday.
I just find it hard to believe that Ken Norton Jr. is like single-handedly taking down one of the best defenses ever.
That's why I think it's in between. I think it's a dose of both.
Yeah, I mean, Seahawks give up 369 yards.
I can read the stats. I'm just saying, like, you think that Ken all of a sudden has made this into this terrible defense? Because, you know, Pete talks about how during the week the coaches get together, that, you know, they all are sort of their input. I find it hard to believe that Ken Norton, you know, calling the game is taking it down that far. So do I have the answer, though? No, I don't. No.
And that's okay.
Well, Dave, were there times you benefited from a different voice?
A different voice?
Yeah, like a different coach coming in.
Well, I think the thing is everybody loves Ken. I mean, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, KJ and Bobby, I mean, they all have this really special relationship. And you know, and you can see it. He is a player's coach. They love him there. So I don't think that that's it. I mean, he was – early on when he first came with Pete, I mean, it was all about, he was like the motivator.
Well, we'll talk more about this coming up in the next segment. I got some sound of Bobby Wagner talking about the defense and Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson talking about some of what took place last night. So we'll continue the conversation next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. You can download it for free and take us with you wherever you go. You never want to miss a minute of the show.
You never know what's going to happen in that minute.
Yeah, you're going to get entertainment. You're going to get truth. You'll get the hard truth. Sometimes it's not pleasant, but it's necessary. You got to tell the whole story about these games, good, bad, everything that goes on. And we've been talking about the defense, which is not a positive thing, but it needs to be discussed. And Bobby Wagner was obviously asked about it. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm confident. You know, it's 10 games left. You know, we have a lot of talent in our locker room. We have a lot of guys coming back. You know, we have the ability to improve. We just have to make our minds up, and that's it. No more talking, no more saying what we're going to do. We have to go show it. So at this point, I don't have no words for you. It's either we do it or we don't.
Basically, don't talk about it, be about it. Go out there and get it done. It always sounds so easy. We're going to make so much, oh, yeah, these are very fixable things, right? We see the mistakes on film. These are easily correctable. Yet, we've talked about this after every single one of these games, and it hasn't bitten them until this game, but we've watched teams just march up and down the field, long, sustained drives, every single game. And it doesn't matter. And I felt like initially we were making excuses like, well, that's the best three wide receiver group you're going to see in the Falcons. I mean, Julio Jones and this guy and then Gage and blah, blah, blah. And then, well, Cam Newton, former MVP. I mean, come on. And then, oh, well, Dak Prescott is really underrated. That guy's amazing. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick's been in the league. I feel like we keep sort of making these excuses for why guys succeed, individuals like these quarterbacks succeed the way they do against this defense.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're going to do that all year.
Well, and the thing we talked about is it sustainable? Can you live with this? Yeah, if you win the turnover battle, which they lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And how important is that? I was going into the game, and Pete had it was 25-2, but then yesterday, I want to say now, the top five teams in turnover ratio are 27-5. And then I'll bet you if you look at the bottom, they're the exact opposite of that, probably 5-27. So that's really important. So they have to have that. And they also have to have the big plays that just come about at, you know, Cam Newton on the goal line, interception of Dak Prescott. You know, I mean, look, those kinds of things are just not happening. It's not something that you can rely on, but you can work hard to get the takeaways, and they just haven't. But a lot of that comes from playing tight coverage, and they're not playing tight coverage, you know. So, yeah, it's just frustrating. I think, you know, Cam Newton, as you mentioned, he went downfield, even in the Miami game.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick took him down. So it's something that needs to get fixed. How does that get fixed? I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe we're in love with these players and we think they do have enough talent. But I think Jamal Adams is the best safety so in the league. And, you know, KJ Wright is playing well. I think Benson Mayoa is a good player. I mean, you know, Jaron Reed, maybe he needs to do more. I don't know. It's just I feel like they do have that. But maybe, like you guys said, maybe we're just too close to it.
Could be. And I was just looking at the teams that they've beaten. The Falcons are 1-6, Vikings 1-5. You know, the best team record-wise they've beaten so far is the one that everybody thought would be the worst going
Dolphins.
In, and that's Miami.
So, it's
a strange one. And, you know, we talk about Bobby Wagner, and I know I've been – you know, harsh on Bobby, and everybody loves Bobby, and, you know, they think he's going to the Hall of Fame. We know he's going to be in the Ring of Honor, and his jersey will probably be retired here in Seattle, but I was just looking at his stats, 3 quarterback hits for the year, 1 tackle for loss, and that was in the first game against Atlanta, 63 total tackles. You're not seeing the splash plays from him, but he's not the only one out there that you're not seeing the big plays from, and they're few and far between, so we'll see. It just kind of, I was thinking here, Dave, sometimes we'll be talking about the Mariners and you'll have a football analogy. I'm going to go the other way with it. It reminds me, like, watching the Dodgers, they have this lineup that's just loaded, 1 through 9, and it's kind of like Seattle's offense, the Seahawks' offense. They're just loaded, you know. They're unstoppable at times for the most part. I was even wondering if Dixon was even going to come out to punt last night. They were so effective in the first half. And yet – It's like you have a bunch of crummy starters or a bunch of crummy guys in the bullpen that are short-circuiting what you might do to get to the World Series. Now, that's not the case with the Dodgers, but I'm just looking at the Seahawks in baseball terms. They've got one heck of a lineup, and they can score 8 runs a game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they have a pitching staff, a defense, that can give up 8 runs a game too. And maybe 10 runs a game and maybe even 20. So it's just strange. And I think everybody's, you know, got the doing the hand-wringing thing because you know what kind of an offense you have. You know Russell Wilson right in the prime of his career. You don't want to squander that. And yet you feel like you're going to the way this defense is playing.
Yeah, the problem is you just offensively speaking, you can't have a night like last night, which was really weird because Russell, as we talked about, he made some brilliant throws. Brilliant. Better than anybody in the league. The deep ball, the moon ball just drops into the basket. It's unbelievable what he's able to do. Threw for almost 400 yards, 3 more touchdown passes, but he threw 3 of the most inexplicable interceptions you could ever imagine. But I almost give him a pass because he just doesn't do it. We were talking about him being the front runner for the MVP coming into this game. And I'm not going to say, man, we got problems on offense. You don't. This offense is still the highest scoring offense in the league. They surpassed their average last night. They put up 34. They were averaging just under 34 coming into the game. But the problem is you don't have slack. You can't. Russell is not allowed to be human.
Nope.
He's not allowed to have an off night. The offense is not allowed to have an off night. And you could argue, despite those mistakes, they still put up 34 points, and you lost.
So he basically has to play perfect. The offense has to be perfect. And that's what having a bad defense does, is you don't have any of that slack. You just don't. And they've got to just get to 20. I'm with Jim. Just get up to 20. I could live with that. You're 32nd right now. Be 20th in the league. You're still bottom half of the league, but how much of a difference, how much more breathing room would that give this offense?
Are you talking about yardage?
I'm just talking about being overall, because they're moving down in points allowed. They're 23rd in points allowed. They're 32nd in yardage total. They're 32nd in passing yardage. Their rushing yardage is they're moving further down. They were great through the first four games and have since taken massive drops. So just some level of mediocrity would be, I don't think we're asking too much based on who is on that team.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because you hear people complaining about Trey Flowers a lot. And, you know,
deservedly so, but he's not alone.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like he gives up a huge cushion. I like what you're seeing out of Quentin Dunbar. And I know that there's been some back and forth with him and, you know, up and down. But he had a penalty where he got there a little bit early. And then he was beaten on a really good throw by you know, a pretty good combination, the duo there with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. So it's I do think they have the talent, but I'm not sure, you know, what exactly needs to happen for them to start playing tighter defense. It's a mystery. And I think it'd be interesting if you were in that room, you would, you know, I don't know if you would come out of there, you know, after looking at film, knowing exactly what's going on.
I just want to hear how they speak to the players when they're watching the film. If they're taking everybody to task, what are they isolating? What are the problems in their mind? I would pay money just to sit in the back of the room, not say a word. Just let me observe. Let me listen. Let me watch you guys go through this defensive film and critique it. I think it'd be fascinating.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Jim?
It would be. It would be fascinating. I'd like to be in there too. I don't know what I'd have to offer, but you know, maybe things will change. You know, Pete continues to be confident, and I know he never throws players under the bus, so it's to be expected. But like I was saying earlier, maybe when they get Michael Kendricks out there and they love Jordan Brooks, he looked good last night. Maybe as he gets a little more experience, he'll help a lot too. Snacks Harrison, maybe when he gets into that defensive line rotation. Last night, Puna Ford and Brian Monet had the highest grades on the defensive line from Pro Football Focus. So you work Snacks Harrison into there, shut down the 49ers running game, get to Garoppolo, start getting the pass rush. You got Jamal Adams coming back, all these different things. But you're basing it on hope. So it's not, you don't really have an expectation at this point that it's going to get better, but you hope it will.
Yeah, we're all hoping it will. So obviously this conversation will continue as we get ready for the 49ers coming up this weekend. We'll talk more football coming up next with the professor, John Clayton. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Well, I'm assuming there was a lot of learning, certainly a lot of questions in today's show, but did we learn anything, Maura?
I think we learned a few things.
You know what I learned?
What'd you learn?
Candy corn is not a meal.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, all of a sudden I get dizzy and I'm like, oh, that's why.
Four bags, huh?
I ate candy corn instead of, like, I brought these diet you know, frozen dinners that you're supposed to have.
Yeah, we had a listener and a regular out at Edgar's Cantina who was kind enough to send us some candy corn.
Karen and Nancy.
Yeah,
well, it was Nancy.
They're great.
Remember Karen and Nancy, Jim?
I miss Karen and Nancy.
I do, too.
They sent us a little box that had, what, like four or five bags of candy corn in there, and Dave's been making a meal of it.
Yep. The best kind of candy corn are those full-on pumpkins, the orange ones.
Pumpkin ones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they taste just like candy corn, but you get more bang for your buck out of those.
I'll tell you what, they have chocolate ones and cinnamon ones, too.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah, they had a multi-flavored bag in there.
Huh.
All right, what did we learn, Maura?
We learned how Mike Nolan got Tabasco in his eye.
The defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan...
Oh. Yeah, got Tabasco in his eye.
Got Tabasco in his eye, so he had to stop the press conference.
Of course he did.
How do we know this? How do we know
one of the reporters reported it?
Yeah, it was on the Zoom conference call.
But wouldn't he have to have told everybody, sorry, I'm late because I put Tabasco in my
eye? No, it wasn't late.
It
was in the middle of the press conference.
Was it?
They
what
stopped
was he doing
it?
With Tabasco up at the during
maybe
the press conference?
Maybe he had just finished eating something before that thing started and had it on his hands and rubbed his
well,
eye.
Well, see, remember, it's like...
It's probably a Bloody Mary he
yeah,
was making.
Yeah, it could be. Well,
Tabasco in the eye.
I read, Bob, you're right. He got some on his finger and rubbed his eye, and that's what happened.
So he'd been eating prior to the Zoom
or
call.
Or drinking.
Or was drinking, yeah.
I've done that after cutting jalapenos before.
Ooh.
You ever done that?
No, I have not.
It's not fun.
I can't imagine any part of that being good.
No.
What else did we learn?
We learned Will Disley is nicer than Ben Burkervin, at least to Jim.
And we all know that the Huskies own the Cougs when, you know, the past few years. I mean, it's been really a drought for the Cougs, right, Jim? How do you think they'll do this year?
That was subtle. I appreciated that. You know, it's going to be a good matchup. I think every year, I think the Wazoo's got a new coach, so they're going to bring a new energy, and they're going to, you know, they're going to come in and think to win, and, you know, the Huskies will just have to do what they always done and just go out there and execute.
You're nicer than Ben Burkervin.
I love the uncomfortable pause. He just went mute there.
We were afraid that was going to get edited out. But no, that was.
Did you shorten it, Maura? Did you?
No, actually, Matt edited this interview for me. He said I felt like it was important to leave that pause.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
That's because Matt is an artiste.
No, he's a traitor. He played the Husky fight song during the golf show too this past weekend. Yeah, there it
that's
is
what
again.
You get, Jim.
I'll do it again.
You asked for it, Jim.
As I say every single time I hear this song, unlike Husky fans, I know the words to this song. Okay?
You think Husky fans don't know the words to it?
You find 10 Husky fans, any 10, find 10 Husky fans, I'll bet 3 of them know.
Really?
The words to the fight song. Yep.
You know Will Disley does.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Jim had him sing it.
I couldn't listen to the Disley interview because I knew that awkward silence was coming up, and I wanted to take the words out of the air and shove them back in my mouth, but it was too late.
Outside of Jim's awkwardness, what else did we learn, Maura?
Well, we also learned what Jim's recovery process is like after a game.
The biggest thing you do is just get out there and move, whether it's, you know, in a pool, on a bike, you know, getting another lift in or just, you know, going for a walk in nature. That's big for the body recovery and, you know, body emotion stays in motion, I guess.
Hey, that's what I was doing today, Will. I was out in nature. I was recovering.
There you go.
I was recovering from watching the game.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, 2 weeks away now.
What was sore on your body, Jim? Was it your jaw? Was it your butt from sitting on the couch? What were you sore from watching the game?
Yeah, probably my left bicep from picking up my Coors Light, perhaps.
Okay. Some 8-ounce curls.
Yeah, it could have been that. Yeah, it could have been one of those.
Jim doing his physical therapy this week to be ready for game time this weekend.
I wish I could have a do-over with Will Disley in there. Not one of my better moments.
You didn't dazzle him today.
No, I didn't dazzle anybody with that effort.
You made him laugh.
Yeah, I think he was playing along.
Yeah, it might have been a courtesy laugh there, though, and probably he was looking at his watch going, when's this going to end?
He gets the drill.
I'm guessing these guys don't love talking after a game like that. I don't think anybody's raising their hand going, hey, can I do that? I'd love to be interviewed and...
Well, and I believe he said they got back at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember being asked to do an interview where I purposely did a crummy job. I think I always tried. I always kind of felt bad for the guys that were trying to get something. You know, it's like, I mean,
you pitied them?
Yeah, no, not. I shouldn't have said that. I always wanted to cooperate. You know?
Yeah.
I've heard personally from some guys who've said they've intentionally been terrible so that they don't get requested again.
Yeah.
You know, this is a different situation where the Seahawks are doing it on their, we're not requesting these guys, we get who we get. But yeah.
That's called playing your way out of a job.
Yeah.
I did that on kickoff return.
Did you just played poorly?
Yeah, I was a starter, and so I was pretty secure. And so, I didn't put much into it. And so they fired me, and I was super happy. I hated kickoff return. Hated it.
I believe
would never make it on a Bill Belichick team.
Why? Yeah. Why'd you hate it?
Because I was on the front line, and what you're supposed to do is run back 15, 20 yards and then turn around and try to block a guy who is trying to impress his coach, and he's either going to run around you or just plow right over you, and you can't really tell which one. So if you think he's going to try to run you over, you have to get heavy on your front toes, and then if you go and lunge at him and he goes around you, you whiff. It was just a terrible. And then, you know, sometimes you get locked up and then you get pushed back into the pile and then somebody clips your legs from behind. I just hated kickoff return. Hated it. But I loved punt team. I loved the blocking. I liked the coverage. I loved doing my field goal. I was the wing guy.
Yeah, coming after the block.
Yeah, I just, I love those. And when I got to Denver, I was like, I want this position.
But you didn't like.
But I hated kickoff return.
So you're happy to be relieved of those duties. Groz used to tell me chores around the house that he didn't want to do. He would purposely do them horribly so that his wife would just go, you know what, just go sit down. I'll do it.
Turner White's pink.
Yeah, anything he didn't want to do, he'd just purposely screw it up repeatedly to where they'd. Frustration would overtake them and go, just put it down. Go away.
It's a wily veteran there.
I think that's what you should do with the dishwasher, Dave.
Start putting stuff in the wrong place.
Put the forks up in the cupboards and start squeezing cups into the silverware drawer. Yeah. Just
that's a good idea. Or just break stuff.
And Shannon will go, you know what, Dave? I got it, honey. Yeah. Sit down. Sit down.
Now, you're meant to struggle in life, Bob.
That's
you're
right.
Meant to struggle. I think you have to have.
You got unloaded dishwasher.
Unloaded dishwasher every once in a while.
You got to go through the grind of life to really appreciate when times are good.
It's awful. Just awful.
What else did we learn, Maura?
That's all the learning we did. Still some questions remaining.
Yeah, lots of questions, but we did learn some things. We'll ask those questions throughout the week. I want to thank our guests today, John Clayton and Will Dissly, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button and then click on our picture. It's all right there waiting for you each and every day. We're back tomorrow with you right here. Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.